Welcome, everybody, to the British Invasion All Access Podcast. My name is Darren Guttridge. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Gleed.
Hello, sir.
And instead of giving you your ROH podcast this week, because they're in best of mode, we're going to bring you a British Invasion podcast. We've done this before. It's less agenda than the ROH. It's got less of a specific order. But we've got a topic to discuss with you tonight. We don't have a theme tune, which annoys me, Hayden.
Yeah, I think we need a theme tune.
Can we not just have Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden? Because that's quite an invade-y song.
Yeah, but it's not exactly an endorsement of the quality of our podcast when we're promoting Run to the Hills.
But it's about invading, and that's the theme I'm going for. To be fair, we should start every podcast with an Iron Maiden song. That'd just be great.
Well, yeah.
We could remix it. It could be White men came across the sea. They brought us news and comedy.
Ironically, there's thousands of people at the moment running to the hills after you singing.
Hey, I have a beautiful voice. You shut up now. Right, well, terrible singing aside, this is the All Access Podcast, and don't let my singing put you off that. If you like what you hear tonight, or you like what you hear on any of the All Access podcasts, it's so simple to sign up to ProWrestling.net membership. It's dirt cheap. It's only $7.50. I nearly said pounds and pennies. I didn't. It's $7.50 a month with price breaks for 6-month subscriptions and for year-long subscriptions. And you get exclusive audio. Pretty much every single day of the week, you will have member-exclusive audio from Jason, from Will, from Jake, from Zim, from myself, from Hayden. We cover every single major wrestling TV show from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, ROH, TNA. We've got you covered. Lucha Underground, The Works. You also get access to the members-only forum. And you also get access to first-run news items that Jason will put on the site for the members before anybody else gets to see them. All that, plus much, much more. And again, you can go back and listen to all of the previous member podcasts. It's not just this week. You can go back into the archive, listen to whatever week takes your fancy. All of that for just $7.50 a month. It really is great. Both myself and Hayden were members before we started writing for the site. And we cannot tell you enough how great the service is.
Yeah, and I do want to mention the flagship show, which is .NET Weekly, which is Jason and a co-host. Running through the news, but at the moment Jason is currently going through the WWE roster, evaluating where they sit and everything like that with Will, and it's quite hilarious, to be quite honest. I lolled quite a lot listening to it today.
Hayden's a little bit bitter about the .NET flagship show because he's yet to be on it.
Well, they're saving the quality, you see.
But we're here for the British Invasion podcast, and this week we want to talk about, with the lull in ROH, we want to take advantage and really talk about the British wrestling scene, the independent wrestling scene over here in our native country. Because you may have heard this in quite a few channels, and even I have been aware of the American opinion of it, but the British scene is doing really, really well right now.
It is. It seems to be the cool factor around at the moment. You know, since the last time it was like this was in the 70s, when you had the likes of Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks, etc., which were before even my time. Darren, you keep calling me old, but even I was not born when the British wrestling scene was this hot. But it does seem to have had a massive resurgence in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and there's quite a few reasons for this. I mean, for one, I think it's just easier to run an independent company in this country and actually get some traction, because it's not as big as America. With America, you've got the problem of just the amount of space there is. It's hard to get the word out. Here, there's quite a few big hitters now, and that's because they can tour the entire country pretty much. Some of them stay put, but most of them do now tour. And it's easier to get the word out. And that's then built on the fact that we actually have a lot of great British wrestlers knocking around at the moment.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is the fact that I think recently, especially, because going back to the early 2000s, you would see independent shows around the UK, but they were spotlighting former WWE wrestlers or washed-up wrestlers, etc. But now the promotions are more focused on the actual British talent and the stars coming in are just that. They're just the attraction, but the actual meat and the bones of the company are centered around the British talent. And for that, you get the feeling as a fan of that particular promotion that these are your guys.
Exactly. You can actually see British wrestlers, and I don't believe for a second this is anything kayfabe, I believe this is real life. You can see them arguing a lot on Twitter, saying, why are you paying big bucks for Americans to come over and do stuff when you actually have British native stars that maybe don't have the mainstream appeal that the American stars they could bring in have, but they're just as, if not better, in the ring. And they have actually started to get notoriety outside of, you know, their like local city, their one home promotion. We've moved away from that kind of model now, where people go from promotion to promotion to promotion, and they're well known for it, and it's really quite good. And again, it's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. People say the British wrestling scene is good, therefore more people get into the British wrestling scene, that puts more money into the British wrestling scene, that makes it better, and the wheel starts over again. It's just a really nice progress we have going on right now.
And I was just about to mention progress wrestling. You see, Darren, we talk too much because we're synced up. We are very much synced up.
That's very odd.
Because I was going to say, you mentioned the fact that a lot of the wrestlers are saying, why do you need this talent? Well, progress wrestling, one of the companies that we're going to talk about, is part of their growth was the fact that they didn't bring in any foreign talent. It was all British talent. I think the first outside of Britain talent that actually wrestled in progress was Colt Cabana, and that was a big moment. And even now, even though they still have the odd sort of star attraction, it is all about the British stars.
Yeah, exactly. They progress are probably the best example. They're probably the one you've heard the most about outside of the UK, because they have such a defined identity. Which is also really nice in that you didn't really have that a few years ago. Everyone was just kind of the same. You'd either have the very, very kid-friendly ones or the very, like, cheap and tacky ECW ones. Don't get me wrong, those are both still around in abundance. But they're kind of looked down upon now as, like, you're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? I'll get some of that when we talk about our experiences with indie wrestling a bit later. But yeah, back to progress. They're London-based. They pretty much play out of one venue in Camden, which I have been to. It's very nicely laid out for wrestling. It's obviously meant to be a nightclub, but it's a very nice atmosphere in there, and they shoot it and make it look fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to embark soon on a project with Progress in terms of reviewing the shows, and I'm looking forward to going back and watching some of the shows, some of the history. They have got an on-demand service, very similar to WWE. I think it's $7 at the moment. I could be wrong about that. I need to double-check that. But they're massive. And the clips I've seen of them, the wrestling's phenomenal.
Oh, definitely, yeah. They're so good at putting on a variety of matches. When I went there, there was pretty much something for everything. You had very heavy technical side. You had some flashy tag teams. Like when I was there, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong turned up, and that did pop the crowd. But they're not like ex-WWE guys. They still have their indie cred with them. There was also like some hardcore matches. Now, that's not my taste, strictly speaking, but that's there too. And it's shot it's shot so very well, and it's dressed up well, which is again something we didn't have a few years ago. You would have bog standard rows of seats in a gym with the fluorescent lights on, the normal house lights on, and just a crappy ring. This is dark, it's atmospheric, and it looks great on film, and that makes you want to go on these subscription services and actually sign up for them, because they look high quality. They don't look like old Ring of Honor tapes.
Oh, no, definitely, and the crowd are always rabid as well. And going back to the point I was going to make about Progress Wrestling and the fact that they spotlight the British wrestlers, I think I'm right in saying that they haven't had a non-sellout show for years.
At their Camden one, yeah, they do pretty much sell out in 10 minutes. I was very lucky to get tickets when I got them.
I think they're moving to the Brixton Academy in September, which is a 2,000... It's an arena that can hold 2,000 people, essentially. So it's so that they are progressing slowly but surely up the ladder.
progressing up the ladder.
Yeah, you see, nice. you see what I'm doing there?
Well, this thing, yeah, the thought that an independent wrestling company could set out a building that big is quite undeniable, but something has happened recently in Scotland with ICW, who may be another company you've heard of. They're based in Glasgow, well, Scotland in general, and they sold out the SSE in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if they sold it, but they played there, and playing there is a big enough deal in itself for an independent wrestling company to do that. And that's the arena that traditionally I think WWE and TNA goes to when they run Glasgow. So it's a pretty big deal for an independent wrestling show to be able to do that. It's really, really impressive.
And ICW as well became well known in the UK. There was a fantastic BBC documentary, and I did mean to send you the link before, Dan. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it was called...
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
The Insane Fight Club. And that was fantastic because it did pull the curtain back slightly on the wrestling business, as it were, but it was very much in the mold of what came afterwards, which was Breaking Ground with WWE. It was going backstage, following the promoter, following a show, you know, and stories within the show, and it just brought ICW, I think, to a wider audience.
And yeah, and this is not an isolated case anymore. This is happening more and more with these independent shows. And much as Progress has their niche as kind of this... actually, it's kind of hard to describe what Progress is niche. They call themselves punk rock, but I think they're just the mark of excellence right now. They just have the best people coming through their doors. Whereas ICW is much more the kind of the ECW vibe. Again, strict speaking, I have seen ICW. They did a UK tour, and I saw them in Birmingham. Not necessarily my type of show, like the heavy violence, but they do mix in quite a lot of comedy as well. Because obviously, it being Grado's home company, it's going to be a little bit of comedy in there. And that was the night I saw Grado and kind of understood the appeal of Grado. I always find him funny, but on there, I just got it. He was wrestling Drew McIntyre and Jack Jester in a triple threat match in the main event, and he was so funny. It was unreal.
And that's the thing with that documentary. Grado was the main focus as well. So again, that was the first time I'd had exposure to Grado outside of TNA at the time. So yeah, ICW. If you do find the documentary, it is online. It's on YouTube. It's Insane Fight Club, and You will see that it is very, so as Darren said, an ECW sort of feel to it. It is quite hardcore. But again, it's filling a niche within the UK that other companies don't necessarily sort of fill. And that's another thing that is great about the British wrestling scene, is the fact that there are so many companies that give you what you want. Like, for example, PCW, they're a very entertainment orientated sort of promotion. They're not necessarily storylines from show to show, but you go to a show and for that particular night, you get a fantastic card of just entertainment.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Progress is kind of the elite of wrestling, and ICW is doing the hardcore stuff, I'd say Preston City Wrestling is pretty much your ultimate family wrestling company. They keep it, it's not above violence, but they keep it pretty PG, I would say.
The last show I went to, I was actually quite shocked by the amount of swearing. Again, it doesn't offend me particularly, but there was quite a lot of kids in the crowd, but they're not necessarily tied down to a PG tag, but at the same time, they do encourage families and things like that to come to the show as well.
Mm-hmm. And they use pretty much... Well, they have been using American talent a little bit, but they're doing it the right way. They're using them as the attractions to say, like, Scott Hall's coming, Booker T's coming, but still front and centre will be your British talent.
And they also have the Super Card of Honour every November, which is basically the PCW talent against the ROH talent. Mm-hmm. And that is quite a nice little hook, and it's quite nice seeing essentially that the darlings supposedly of the American scene and the darlings of the British scene collide.
Exactly. And then you've got Rev Pro, who kind of do the let's import the wrestlers.
Dude,
stop it. Stop it, Hayden. It's not funny. We're all access today. We can't be doing this immature stuff. We have to be a good example.
I must be a grown-up. I must be a grown-up.
There we go. RevPro do bring in overseas talent, but they bring in the best. They were the first company to bring Okada to the UK. They were the first company to bring Nakamura to the UK. They've had AJ Styles there before. They've had Kurt Angle recently. They do bring in the outside talent, but they bring in they're not bringing in the Marty Jannettys and the Tatankas of the world. Like the real local company to me, the one that runs Warsaw and Dudley, their posters is always Tatanka and Juventud Guerrero, and people I'd have no interest in seeing wrestle because I saw them wrestle 15 years ago on SmackDown. I'm fine, thank you. They haven't got this the right way around, and that's why they're not doing as well as some of the other local companies around here. But yeah, and that's RevPro's thing. I can't actually remember where they're based. I have been to a RevPro, so I know they do. I pretty much think they do UK touring, but I think they are predominantly London based.
They're more southern. They're more Portsmouth, Southampton sort of area.
Right, but they did do a show. When I went to see them in Birmingham, they had. They had Finn Balor, they had Prince Devitt in the time between he left New Japan and went to NXT. And that's when I saw Prince Devitt and said, yeah, he's got it. He's going to be a great champion in WWE someday. Those are the elite companies. Those are the ones that you may have stood a chance of hearing about outside. But even then, there are so many companies jumping up that I recognize that are miles away from me. I have nothing to do with, and yet I know their names. For example, near me, there's a company called Fight Club Pro. They're my go-to local indie guys. They brought over Kevin Steen just before he joined NXT. They brought over Adam Cole. They highlighted loads and loads of UK talent that have now gone on from relatively small beginnings there to kind of be big players on the scene. And they're helping they're running the Shikara tour that's about to kick off over here. In fact, I think it might be next week that in the same way that PCW brought ROH over here, Fight Club Pro bringing Shikara over here. I went to the Shikara show last year. A lot of fun. Recommend you go to that. And I'm sure there's some up near you, Hayden. You live in Liverpool, but I get there's some around there, and there's probably some back home in Wales as well.
Yeah, I know. Quite recently, they had an independent show. For the life of me, can't remember the name of the company, but they brought Bram in for that, and they did quite well. The thing is that even the smaller promotions in the UK, they seem to be able to attract the good and the great, as it were. For example, there was an indie show in Bristol, and again, I do apologize, I can't remember the name of the company, but it wasn't one of the elite. It wasn't anyone I'd particularly heard of before, and it wasn't in exactly a massive venue. But they had Jay Lethal on the show defending his ROH title. They had Drew Galloway on the show defending his TNA championship. And obviously the quality of the opponents on that card weren't great. They weren't household names, shall we say. But from all reports, a friend of mine went to it and said he had a really good time and really enjoyed it. And it's so encouraging that even the smaller promotions are getting these talent to come in for, you know, and being able to pay them.
Well, again, that's part of the self-fulfilling prophecy thing, because the British scene has got such this great momentum behind it, thus making the British stars more valuable. When they're doing their rounds, they're taking the prestige they're getting from the elite companies and taking it to these smaller venues. Yeah. So that just encouraged me even more to go and see them. If I see a name like, you know, well, Zack Sabre Jr. is kind of the man in the UK right now. He's very much on top of the tree as the one everyone looks to as like the great shining light of what the UK talent can do. He's more of a Japanese and America-based person now, but when he comes over here, you know exactly where he's going to be. They will hype the hell out of him as if he were a WWE guy. That's how recognizable his name is at the moment, because he just won the Battle of Los Angeles with PWG over in America. He's been going great guns in Japan for all these years. I think he's the Evolve champion. I don't know Evolve.
Yeah.
He's in Evolve.
Yeah, I don't want to say for definite and get shouted at, but I've got a vague recollection that yes, he is the Evolve champion.
Well, he has been in the recent memory anyway. Regardless, he's kind of the man, and you could get him conceivably on your show. You could get him if you were running, you know, a local crap place. If you've got enough money and he has a night free, you can bring in a pretty sizable name and boost your company up. And that's great for the scene that you can have these names that aren't out of reach, really, for pretty much anybody.
No, exactly. I think we should run through some of the names now of the British scene. If he was given loads of money, Darren, and you could pick one British star from the British independent scene, who would it be and why?
Do you want head or heart here?
I know what your answer is going to be for heart, so let's go for head first.
Well, head would be Zack Sabre Jr., but that's kind of the obvious pick. Of the other ones I've seen, like I said, there's quite a lot of good talent at the moment. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Will Ospreay so far. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it from him yet. The real, like, oh my God, he's amazing. He hasn't really captured me that way, but I know he's got enough raw talent to maybe get to that point. I'm really liking Marty Skrull at the moment. Right. He has really captured my eye the few times I've seen him. And he was in the first season of the TNA British Bootcamp show. He lost out to Rockstar Spud in the final. But he hasn't gone down since losing that. If anything, he's on Zack Sabre's level. He's basically the top heel, I'd say, of the UK right now, if Zack Sabre Jr. is seen as the top babyface.
And if I'm correct, I believe he's the Progress Wrestling champion at the moment.
I thought that was Will Ospreay.
No, he actually won the title from Will Ospreay.
Okay, then, this is what we need to catch up on, Progress. he would be my head's choice. I feel like you could really do something with him right now. Unless I was going to pick Zack Sabre Jr., because of course I would pick Zack Sabre Jr. If I'm going with my heart, it would have to be a man by the name of Dave Mastiff, who I may have mentioned before on this podcast, but he's from the Black Country where I am from. He has a thick Dudley accent, which is a great thing to hear in a wrestling ring. He's a big dude. Like, he really is, like, quite sizable. I'd say he's at least, he's got to be 300 pound plus.
He is
huge. He's a big bull of a man, but he can do flips. He can do a head. Do you know the moonsault that, Silas Young does, the headstand into the rebound moonsault? He can do that, and he's 300 pound. And his nickname is The Bastard, which is just great. I love everything about him. I wish he was in British Bootcamp 2 for TNA, and he lost out to Mark Andrews. Travesty there. But he would be my heart pick. What about you, Hayden?
Well, I have to go for the hometown boy. And I think he's so underrated because of how he's been used, and that would be Mark Andrews. He's from my neck of the woods. He's from a city called Cardiff in South Wales. And he's been in TNA, you've just mentioned him. He won British Bootcamp 2, but TNA didn't do anything with him. But I've seen some shows with him as the headliner, some independent shows, and those matches have been off the charts. He's so underrated, and to be quite honest, if TNA not going to do anything with him, I hope he is allowed to go out on his own and show to a wider audience what he can do.
I'm so glad he changed his tights, because his tights, when I saw him at Fight Club Pro, he had planes, like airplanes, on overside of his tights. One's flying up and one flying down. Below the one that was flying up, it had time to fly, and on the other side, at the plane hurtling towards the floor, it said time to die. And I was like, oh, nice. Terrorism, fantastic, that's a great way to get over. He's changed that now. Thank God.
Yes. So Mark Andrews would be my pick with my heart. With my head, there's just so many good wrestlers out there. It would be Zack Sabre Jr. as well, obviously. But if I was to go with someone else, it would probably be Noam Dar, who's a wrestler from Scotland. He, as far as I'm concerned, he can do pretty much everything. He's got a nice mat-based offense when he wants to. He's predominantly known as a high flyer, and I believe he's in the Cruiserweight Championship that NXT are running currently. But he's also got the chops. You know, I've never seen him in a situation where he's had to cut a money promo. But at the same time, I've been at shows where he's got the microphone and he looks incredibly comfortable. So, you know, at least there's something to work with there. So, yeah, with my head, it'd be Noam Dar.
Yeah, there's so many names right now that I could literally just put my hand into a barrel and pick out 10 names that you actually stand a chance of knowing, which is completely different from how it was even 5 years ago. You wouldn't have known this. Like Jimmy Havoc, who was the Progress champion for the longest time, his thing is that everyone hates him. And trust me, I've been to a Progress show. Everyone hates him because he's like he's basically like the ultimate emo. If you get rid of me, like
if anyone watches TNA is listening to this, he's the guy from the UK tapings who was obsessed with Rosemary.
Well, of course, no one watches TNA anymore, so that's great. Nor should you.
I completely disagree with that, by the way. The show's been brilliant this year.
I've heard that. Should I give it its annual chance?
I think you should. This Sunday. We'll talk about that off air.
Okay. I'm not going to go through all the names right now, but trust me, there's so many on the scene right now. It's so, so great. And this is why we feel the need to do this podcast, for one, and then get into Progress Wrestling so we can tell you how great the scene is. Well, me and Hayden have been to an independent wrestling show, into a PCW show. Quite the eye-opener for it, wasn't it, Hayden?
Yeah, it was. It was actually my first independent show. It was a couple of years ago now. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It had absolutely everything. It had good comedy. Madman Manson, who
I love.
Darren told me all about him. He was a crazy man who came to the ring barefooted and had drawn boots on his feet, which sounds weird, and it was, but it was brilliant. But it had a bit of everything, and that's what as I said earlier on, that's what PCW was all about. It's a bit of everything for everyone. It had Dave Mastiff and Chris Masters and U-Haul Nation, who is now Apollo Crews in WWE. So it's an independent show in the UK is always entertaining.
You say that just to give some levity to this kind of gushy podcast. I made a questionable decision a few months ago. I am trying to get my girlfriend into wrestling. I thought, well, I'm not gonna be able to get through on TV, because the first match she ever saw, I showed her a random episode of Raw, the one I had taped, and it happened to be that worldie that Seth Rollins and Neville had for the WWE Championship that, like, opened up Raw. A match of the year candidate, and she couldn't have cared less. And it had flips and everything, and she was just like, no. So I was like, okay, maybe live wrestling is the way to go, because then you get the atmosphere. There wasn't a WWE show incoming. So I thought, okay, maybe not start with a flash stuff. Let's just go to an indie one that we can go out afterwards. And if she really hates what she saw, I can buy her drinks and make her happy. So we went to Fight Club Pro, and this is just some of the things that happened. We got there late, so we didn't have great seats. Everyone stands at the Fight Club Pro. We weren't close enough to the ring anyway. We could see, but we weren't right up against the cage where you want to be. The announcer comes out, Joanna Rose. Her microphone isn't working, so she attempts to shout the ring and direction. So straight away, making wrestling look cheap. She says, "Welcome everybody to Fight Club Pro." There's a bit of a silence, and then all you hear is one man shout incredibly loudly, "Shut up, see you next Tuesday." I hope you get what that's an acronym for.
Yeah, it's a sweary word.
Yeah, so complete silence, and then the first thing, this poor woman who's just trying to work with what she's got with no microphone just gets told to shut up, see you next Tuesday. So yeah, not a great start. The first thing my girlfriend hears is female degradation, but there we go. This was then followed up by the owner of the company, like kayfabe he isn't, but I know that he is, coming out and saying the crowd started chanting, but his microphone also didn't work. The crowd started chanting, F the mic, F the mic, F the mic. And the owner of the company says, do you want Joanna to F the mic? Yay! I was like, oh, great, this is going so well. We're degrading women left, right, and centre. This is going so very well. And I was trying to reassure her, saying, look, this is just stupid men being stupid men, when the wrestling starts, it'll be okay. Guess what the very first live wrestling match she ever saw was?
I bet, and it's a hardcore match.
An intergender hardcore match.
Oh, Lord.
And a man, and it was the singles match, man versus woman, and the man won. Oh. And he beat the crap out of the woman with cooking sheets, chairs, kendo sticks, the works.
At this point, did your girlfriend say, can we go, please?
She was looking very off. I did point out, I was like, look, I did like the, don't worry, it's all fake. I point out, like, they're actually boyfriend and girlfriend in real life. It's fine. They love each other very much. It was Nixon and a big, tall, lanky guy. I can never remember his name. Big, tall, lanky guy. I was like, don't worry, they're boyfriend and girlfriend in real life. They love each other. Don't worry, it's fine. There was a very funny bit where the crowd was booing Chris Brooks, that's his name. They were booing him, and he said, what are you booing? Equality? And I was like, eh, he's got a point. So I was desperately pleading with him at this point. Look, I know it's not gone well, but it'll get good. Then two Americans came out, who's Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee, and they did a flip-de-do match, and I got her back on side. I was like, okay, we're doing all right. The matches were okay. There was flips. There was cool stuff going on. Then the main event was an 8-man tag involving Jimmy Havoc and Dave Mastiff, as we mentioned them. They immediately spill outside of the ring, and she almost gets bowled over by Dave Mastiff.
Oh, my Lord.
Someone Irish roots Dave Mastiff. Obviously, that big ball running through a crowd is never good, and there's not much room to get out of the way in Fight Club Pro. And yes, he like grazed into her basically and made her stumble a little bit. So
I'm a big dude and I would be bricking it, let alone your
exactly.
girlfriend.
I will point out I didn't pull her out of the way because I was looking at two other wrestlers that were wrestling next to us and didn't see Dave Mastiff coming. Yeah, so those are the two ends of the spectrum. For
yeah,
us. It's a many and varied scene. This was my mistake for taking it to a Fight Club. I should have taken it to a more family-friendly one to begin with.
As I said to you before, it should have been PCW.
It should have been. I should have waited, admittedly, for the NXT show that's now happening in a couple of weeks. I have got tickets to go and see that. Yeah. So I pointed out, I was like, do you know how lucky you are? You're on your second ever live wrestling show, you're seeing Shinsuke Nakamura. And she's like, that's a funny name. I was like, oh, I have so much to teach you.
Yes.
Anyway, so we've had lots of experiences in the course of doing this podcast. We're just going to be doing, hopefully, going to be seeing a lot more live independent wrestling, just so we can get a real taste for what the UK scene is right now. Definitely. And as Hayden mentioned previously, we're actually working on a project right now in that we're going to be covering, I think they're monthly at this point, the Progress Wrestling shows as they come out, their chapters as they are referred to.
Yeah, we're gonna watch the shows, we're gonna review the shows, just like you're used to on ProWrestling.net with reviews and our thoughts as we're watching it. And then we're gonna do a monthly podcast as well, talking about Progress Wrestling and what we thought about the show and just doing a proper analysis like you would with any of the American sort of organizations.
We'll also throw in mentions of, you know, stuff that's happening in the UK scene, because there is, like, genuinely enough news for us to be able to have a monthly podcast where we talk about what's happening, who's doing what, who's coming over, yeah. Who's getting hot, who's doing this, who could be going to NXT, etc., etc., etc. So we'll have more details on that soon. We're going to wait until the next Progress show comes out so we can shore up details on that one. But we're pretty positive it's going to happen at this point. Right, Hayden, I think that's going to do us here tonight. I will point out just again, as we get to the end of the show, if you haven't already, please do go to ProWrestling.net, look for the sign-up page. It is only $7.50 for a monthly subscription. You get price breaks if you go for the 6-month option or the year-long option. It's going to be cheaper for you overall, and you get so much great content, podcasts, access to the forum, first-run news, the work. So much. You cannot run out of pro wrestling podcasts to listen to if you go back into the archive. It really is a great service, and I implore you to go and check it out.
And let's be fair, for $7.50, you get me and Darren on a weekly basis.
And what more to life is that? Except for the next 2 weeks when I'm not going to be on the Ring of Honor podcast.
Well, yes.
Far from that, well, luckily, like we said, ROH is currently in best of mode, so there's nothing for us to cover anyway.
But I'm hoping to, and I haven't told you this yet, Darren, and please don't be offended, but I'm actually going to be looking to record podcasts over the next 2 weeks with other people.
Other people?
Other people.
other people.
I'm sorry, I'm cheating on you.
Oh, Hayden, you disgust me. Well, I am away on vacation next week, so I won't be too heartbroken that I'm not covering ROH that week. And then I'm afraid I'm also busy the Thursday following that. So it will be 2 weeks of Hayden, you lucky, lucky people.
And a guest to be decided. So not just me.
Ooh, titillating.
Yes.
Right, plug away, Hayden.
As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed. I've also got a blog up on the main page at ProWrestling.net at the moment, which is looking at ROH. And you may be surprised by what my thoughts are on ROH currently.
Hayden has thoughts, everybody.
I do, every so often.
He likes to write them down. They happen so rarely, he has to note when he had a go. Oh, I had a good idea today.
And then I get a massive headache and I need to lie down for like a day.
So if Hayden's ever missing from the podcast, you know, because he had a brainstorm that morning. He had two thoughts and he had to have a serious lie down.
Why are you being horrible to me?
I don't know, Hayden.
You're just about to leave me for 2 weeks and
I'm sorry.
Being horrible.
I think I'm just mad at Wales.
Why
in general.
Why are you mad at Wales? What have we done now?
I went there for a long weekend and your goddamn sheep woke me up at 6 o'clock every morning. So that's why I'm annoyed, Hayden. If you want to hear more of my incoherent ramblings, please do go to @TheGuthridge on Twitter. You can also check out my website's about to die. I'm switching over to my off-plugged sister site, which is foulentertainment.com. That's foul spelled F-O-U-L. entertainment.com. Please do go over there. They're in the middle of their 30 days worth of stuff, where they're going to be posting new material every single day. I'm hopeful to start writing over there on their website, but I do podcasts over there. We have got our Civil War podcast up right now, the third episode of Gotta Cast 'Em All, as I have to keep calling it, and the third episode of our Pokemon podcast will be going up this week. Yeah, please go check out over there. If not, keep it locked to at the Guthridge and I'll tell you everything I'm doing because I'm sure you're waiting on Tentacles. You can see the pictures from my vacation when I get back from that. So, thanks for listening. And again, yeah, we hope to be back soon with more news from the UK wrestling independent scene.